Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
What a little echo right now. Well, sir, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Yes, sir. My name is Harry, H-A-R-R-Y, Leon, L-E-O-N, Washington, 86760.
Thank you, sir. Can you hear me clearly?
Sir. Yes, sir, I can.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412A parole hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on the video screen, to my extreme far left, at the end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. To my immediate right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. And my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
may I just ask one question?
Yes, sir.
Ma'am, what's your name?
Elizabeth.
Okay,
my
I just want to make
Harry.
Sure because you gave us your phone numbers as well. Thank you. Okay, please go ahead, sir.
Pardon me, sir. I will begin this hearing with a summary. Mr. Harry Washington is 52 years old. He was certified eligible by DOC for 31412A regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. The crimes of second-degree murder, theft, and burglary in the second degree occurred on or about January 27, 1991. He was approximately 25 years old at the time of the offenses. Does this sound correct so far, Mr. Washington?
Yes, sir.
On July 8, 1991, he was found guilty by jury trial. On August 7, 1991, he was sentenced to 5 years for burglary, 4 years for theft, and life for second-degree murder. The Arizona Board of Executive Clemency granted Mr. Washington parole to his next consecutive sentence on November 4, 1992. The remainder of his case, in particular theft, and the second-degree murder, was appealed and affirmed on March 16, 1993. His conviction for theft has since expired. Mr. Washington is officially parole eligible for second-degree murder effective February 8, 2018. So am I correct that this is the first time you've appeared before this board since your new parole, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will read a short summary of the offenses in question. On January 27, 1991, at approximately 7:52 a.m., the victim, Brian Johnson, ran to a marked police car stop at the stop sign at 11th Avenue Buckeye Road. Mr. Johnson told the officer that he'd been shot, then collapsed to the ground. Mr. Johnson was transported by the Phoenix Fire Department to St. Joseph's Hospital, where he was pronounced dead at 8:35 a.m. But while questioning witnesses at the scene of the crime, it was learned that the victim, Chanel Parker and Perry Donald were standing on the southeast corner of the 12th Avenue in Buckeye. The defendant exited the Soul Brothers Motorcycle Club located at 1100 West Buckeye Road and approached the victim, Ms. Parker, and Mr. Donald. The victim made a comment to the defendant, at which time the defendant pulled a small caliber semi-automatic and shot the victim in the neck area. Witnesses observed the defendant go back to the area on the motorcycle club and then walk southbound on 12th Avenue from Buckeye Road. During the investigation, Ms. Chanel Parker identified the defendant as the assailant, saying she knew him by the name of Romeo. She identified the defendant standing in the crowd but subsequently had gathered at the location where the police car was. She pointed to the defendant out to the police officers, at which time he was taken into custody. The defendant was booked in the Maricopa County Jail on charge of murder in the first degree. And that is a summary of the crime in question. According to Mr. Washington's institutional progress report, he has extensive programming and a detailed release plan which includes housing, work, advanced education, finances, and family support. He's had a moderate disciplinary history in DOC from 1991 through 2014, with his last major on April 18, 2012, for assault on staff. This is his third hearing before the board, although his last hearing was a special in 1995. He has numerous letters of support from his family. It should be noted that Mr. Washington has an adult criminal history dating back to 1983, including misdemeanor convictions for contempt of court, trespassing, assault, and DWI. Again, Mr. Washington, so far, does everything sound correct?
Yes, it does, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Washington, this is your first time, I believe, before all the members of this board. We'd like to get to know you. Can you please tell us about the crime or the offense that resulted in you being in prison, in your words?
I would have to say, sir, that that was a very obnoxious morning. I had been at that motorcycle club, that social club, all night. We had been drinking, shooting pool, and so forth. I came out of the club, and I was on the side of the restroom, using the restroom. On the side of the club, sorry, using the restroom. And that's when I encountered Ryan. Ryan came to me as if he was going to rob me or hurt me in some kind of way. I really don't know now, and I can't speak for him. But at the time, I took it as offensive, and it went from there. I didn't even think that I was going to shoot mine. I didn't know the gun wasn't mine, so I wasn't familiar with it. The girl I was messing with, it was her gun. I went in there, I got it, came back out to confront him, asking what he was going to do. When I raised the gun, I'm talking, the gun went off, and it hit him. And that's the extent of that crime. We had no further knowledge of each other. We didn't have an argument or nothing in the club, and it came out. It wasn't gang related or anything like that. It was a horrible accident that I have to live with the rest of my life.
Well, thank you for your honesty before the board.
Yes, sir.
That was a good summary. Was I correct in hearing that you did not know this individual before the incident?
No, I didn't.
And you're just going to have to believe me when I say that my decision as an individual voting member of this board, this isn't writing on this, but I'm not quite sure to understand this from the summary. Were you a member of that club or just hanging out at the club?
No, sir. I was just basically hanging out. That was one of the places that pretty much everybody would be. So it was just a common hangout, sir. That's all.
I see that you submitted some really detailed plans for your release. I commend you for that.
Thank you.
Certainly, as one board member, we look at a variety of release plans, and sometimes there's nothing there. And it seems that you've put a lot of thought into this. There's strong references to vocational plans. Certainly, I say that you're still a young man because I'm the same age as you.
Thank you.
There's a reference in here to wanting to attend the Southwest Truck Driving School. Did you have any heavy equipment skills before you arrested, sir?
No, sir, I didn't. Actually, my first encounter with heavy equipment was with Pima College when I was in Tucson. We were building Habitat for Humanity homes, and I got a chance to like drive a forklift and use the pallet jack and so forth, and I got interested. But the closer I got to maybe a approximate release date or something, I started looking into truck driving and heavy equipment stuff then.
Also, I see that you've done a tremendous amount of programming. Did you get your GED inside the correction system, or did you have your high school education before you came out?
No, I got my GED here in Yuma, and actually I think it was 98, 97.
Well, we commend you for your programming. Regarding your disciplinary history, again, I mentioned that it was moderate, meaning that, you know, we don't have 5 pages of discipline. There's some discipline there from 91 to 2014. Says your last major was on April 18th on 2012 for assault on staff. That does sound kind of heavy. So what happened there?
Yeah, actually, Sir, to be honest with you, it was just for overzealous playing, actually. It wasn't a sort of sound like a physical fight or nothing like that. It was actually a verbal sort of sound. But the way that the disciplinary is now, in so many ways that they were the assault on staff and this and that, that I kind of got caught up like that and that.
Well, sir, you've been in the correction system for a long time now. How do you think you're going to respond when you're eventually released?
I have a wonderful wife. Sir, I have a family that's old enough to actually, you know, sit down and talk to me, and even my grandkids, kids, or fuss at me, and probably, why are you doing this, and this and that, so I think that I have a lot of support in readjusting, because I don't think they're going to leave too much room for me to get in trouble.
I appreciate that, sir. And I do want to correct myself. I said eventually getting out. I recognize that you have a life felony. But I mean in the context of, you know, should this board vote to grant you parole or home arrest. But
yes, sir.
On the other hand, you know, I try to stay positive with everyone.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Right now, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
just for the record, I know you explained it, but explain again exactly what happened when you had this assault of a staff person. What you kind of leaned over it, so what happened? Did he hit you or did you hit him? What happened? What happened?
No, it wasn't a physical anything. We were in Douglas, sir, and we were in the laundry room. It was me and maybe about four or five other people. So one of the COs that came through, we had to get them to open the back door so we could get to the dryers. They came in, opened the back door, and as the officer was coming out, I was coming in. And I told him, I said, well, we were almost so close that we get a kiss. And that was the assault on staff. That was seen as being derogative and written up as an assault.
Okay. Well, thank you for explaining that, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Johnson.
So, sir, I know, you know, back in the day when this happened down around on Buckeye Road, there was a lot going on there. So why did you have the gun, sir?
Sir, I didn't have a gun. It was a female friend that I was dating at the time. I've never owned a gun. I've never actually had any kind of gun affiliation. My mom didn't have one. My dad wasn't in the house. So, but it was just one of those things, I guess, that when you're trying to live a certain kind of life or act a certain kind of way, you fall into foolish behaviors. And in that foolish behavior, I went and got her gun, little bitty gun that she had. And end up shooting a man and he died.
Okay, so sir, in the original, you denied any involvement in this offense, saying you was at the wrong place at the wrong time, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So when did you change that to accept responsibility?
I think that before I got out of the county jail, sir, yes. I was understanding, because I got a knowledge of who Ryan was, and it came to figure out that my grandmother knew his mother. And I started thinking then, but I really started feeling it over the years of people dying in my family, like my mom and my grandmother, and I realized that, you know, it was more to it than just something that happened. It was something that people felt. You know, his family felt, even though I didn't know him, they knew him. Even though I couldn't say, well, he was a bad guy or a good guy, they could say that he was perfect. And you know, and I took that from them. And I mean, I guess that's the best way that I could explain it.
So, sir, you said earlier that you had the gun, you didn't mean to shoot anyone, but you pulled the gun out, and when you pulled it up, started raising it up, it went off. Is that right?
It went off, sir, and shot him.
So what was the conversation or the argument? What was being said? Do you recall?
Well, when he walked up behind me, he said, "Clear your pockets, fool." And, you know, street talk, that's like, I'm robbing you, sir. So I got through using the restroom, and I came out. And that's when it was like, "What's wrong?" Janice asked me, "What's wrong?" And I said, "One of these fools just told me that he was going to rob me or whatever." And that's when I got her gun and went out there.
You got the gun and went out there and what?
And that's when I saw Ryan still standing at the end of the gate. And I walked up to him and I was like, "Hey man, what was you saying when you told me to clear my pockets? What was you saying?" And then I raised the gun up and the gun went off.
So, Mr. Mark,
Yes, sir. Sorry,
I don't mean to interrupt you, sir. Go ahead.
I didn't leave the scene. It was a police car on the corner. I walked to that police car on my own. They didn't have to come and get me. They didn't have to do none of that. And when asked, you know, what happened, I told the policeman. I also told him, "Look, you know, I didn't mean to shoot him." That's when I saw that Ryan was laying next to the car. And I didn't know if he had passed or not. Later on, I found out when they took me down to 7th Avenue Precinct that he had passed away. But I didn't even think I had shot him, actually. It was a police car on that corner. He ran to the police car. The gentleman just said that he said that I'd been shot. I didn't hear any of that because I was a distance away from him. But I didn't leave. I walked over there to that police car on my own. And it tried to explain what happened.
So Mr. Washington.
Yes, sir.
Have you learned the lesson that sometimes it's just better to just walk away? Because had you not gotten the gun from your girlfriend and went back out there, you wouldn't have got incarcerated.
Man, yes, sir. I learned even more so than that. You know, I learned that when you have two choices. You either trying to live or you trying to die. On that morning, I could have been the one that got shot. It was just by the grace of God that it was somebody else, and my mother didn't have to go through it. His mother went through it. But at the same time, I've been in prison. I didn't get a chance to see my mom pass. I didn't get a chance to go to a funeral. All of these things are consequences when you're not doing the right thing. And that's what I want to explain to my grandsons. That's what I want to make known throughout my family. I made the mistake. Don't nobody else have to in my family, sir.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Washington.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Washington, just a couple of follow-up questions based on the discussion you had with Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
There's something I'm just not clear about. When he said, I'm sorry, when the victim had said for you to clear your pockets, was he just talking to you?
I honestly think that he had plans of robbing me or doing something to me, but where I was on that motorcycle parking lot, that motorcycle club parking lot, it was somewhat under the light. And I don't know if he saw somebody or if he, because he just like kind of walked away. You know, I don't know if he was trying to scope me out, if I could say that, and it being understood, and then try to do something later. But I had been there since I got off from work, so let's say about 7 o'clock, sir. And this happened like maybe about, I don't know, 5:30 in the morning or something like that. So I had been drinking beer and playing pool all night. So I don't know if it was like, "Well, we'll do something to him later," or what it was. But like I said, I didn't know him before, so I'm sure he didn't know me either. But I really can't think, I can't really answer, you know, what he had plans on doing. I don't even know why he would come and say, you know, into your pockets. You don't know me, so you couldn't have been playing. And, I mean, not on Buckeye, not that time of night.
A couple more follow-up questions. So you went back into the club and you armed yourself with your girlfriend's gun, is that correct?
No, it's, the club has like a patio that's right around the corner. After you come from this corner, there's like a patio with tables and chairs, and they have a little awning over it where most people were sitting versus going inside, because it's basically just a little bitty hole in the wall. It might have been like a burger stand back in the day. So not many people can fit inside. So most of the people just sit outside and play dominoes, shot pool, or, you know, go in and come out.
And my last question is, just because I'm reviewing the pre-sentencing report, were you on probation when this happened?
That's the 5 years for the burglary death.
So you were on probation during the time of this crime?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I wanted some clarity on that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're going to invite your representative
to
the podium at this point, so if you can just remain quiet for a while. And, ma'am, when you approach the podium, if you'll state your name.
My name is Elizabeth Washington, and I am the wife of Harry Washington. And I just come before you today to let you know that I am his support system. He has a large family waiting for his turn, his return, several grandchildren. He has been their support as they have grown up, because a lot of them have not had that father figure. Each and every time we visit, he gives them what they need as teenagers, as preteens, as little kids coming along the way. So they depend on him as a father figure. But as his support system, I'm a woman of God. And he knows that we don't have time to play with life. You know, he's coming home, God's will, and I will be there to support him 100% in whatever he chooses to do, but knowing that we will continue this life doing the right thing.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes.
I have a quick question, and that is, there are some great letters in here, and they matter, that when people write in, not everyone can come to these hearings, but is there a reason why there aren't more people that are able to come to the hearing today?
Well, kids are in school,
okay.
People are at work, you know, so, like I said, I am the main support person, and because this is my first time doing this, I really didn't want to bring the kids in here because I didn't know what was going to be said or if it was something that they really needed to hear. So I chose it to be just myself.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Yes, Dr. Ray.
Yeah, it's probably somewhere in all this paperwork. How long y'all been married?
17 years.
17?
Yes.
So he was already incarcerated when you...
That's correct.
How did y'all meet? Just curious.
I worked at the prison system. I worked as a janitorial instructor.
Okay.
And a man at that time.
Okay. And did you leave the prison employment shortly thereafter?
Shortly thereafter, yes, I did. It just didn't turn out to be something that was really for me. So, yes, I'm currently working now, full-time employee, as well as I have a part-time business, cleaning service, Saints of Service. So. Yeah, there's a lot for him to do.
Okay, so y'all been married now for about 17 years.
17 years.
In that neighborhood.
17, exactly.
So you really got to know him. You really, you know, you speak with a great deal of confidence, and you didn't know him prior to this offense, but you really feel that he's a changed person?
Yes, because there hasn't been many weekends that I haven't had an opportunity to visit him. And we visit and we sit and we study the Word. We don't sit around and play games. Our only time to build our family or what we had looking forward to was that 6 minutes on that weekend. I'm sorry, that 6 hours on that weekend to visit. And it was critical that we talked about things that really mattered and how we were going to move forward.
So you, y'all basically, if I hear you correct, y'all, they're talking about the Bible and talking about things of that nature when you go visit him?
Yes, yes, and bring in the kids and, you know, what happened at school and how they can help him. And I mean, it's always been honest, open conversation. You know, we never tried to hide anything because I have seven grandkids, okay, and five of those are boys. So they need everything they can get to keep them from having to go through the same thing.
About how old are the grandkids?
My oldest one is 17, we turn to 18 soon. And the baby is 2 years old.
And excluding the baby because 2 years old, that's very young, but do you think the rest of them able to comprehend so that they won't make the same mistake that he made when he was young?
I think so. Oh, they comprehend. I keep them in the Word. We stay in church. You know, when the holidays come around, one of the things that we started to do is to cook and go out and feed the homeless. So get them into things that matter, you know, rather than, oh, it's Christmas, we're going to buy a lot of gifts. Unfortunately, just this last year, we weren't able to do that. But this is things that we do, you know, on a regular basis. So to broaden their horizons, you know, they want to play basketball and they want to do all of these things. But he keeps them, you know, with the understanding that everybody's not going to be an NBA player. So what is plan B? You know, it's just keeping it real.
My final question, you don't have to answer this, but since you mentioned it several times, and I believe you mentioned it as well, you mentioned the church, any particular church that y'all attend, that you attend?
Faith Christian Center.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? Ma'am, just one quick question. It's hopefully positive. This is something I can follow up with Mr. Washington, but it just occurred to me right now. He hasn't had major discipline in the last 5 years. Oftentimes that signifies a change.
It's been a great change, you know. He's a man of character. He is disciplined, you know. My son's somebody that I really look up to. I see his change over the years, you know. You have to accept first what you have done in order for there to be a really positive change, you know. And he did that. He did that, and once that happened, you know, everything about him started to change, you know. He could have an angry streak every now and then, but even that changed. You know, because I continue to bring the kids and to let him see and experience, you know, it's more than about you. It's more than about us, you know. It's about the young ones that are coming up.
Well, I want to be careful, too, about getting too personal, but there was something that caused an attraction in the beginning 17 years ago. What are the big changes you see in him from then? And you saw good in him then, which is, I think, a great thing. But now it's been 17 years, so, like, where do you think he's at now?
I think he's more positive, you know, with himself. You know, I think he can smile now. There was a period when he didn't smile at all, and it was like, I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to make this one of my goals to see you smile. You know, so I think his internal has changed. He's a more positive person. He's a more happy person. He can laugh, you know, so all of those things mean a lot.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for your honesty with this board.
You're welcome.
Questions? Okay, back to Mr. Washington. We're getting close to the end of this hearing. So is there a final statement you'd like to give to the board? We ask that you don't repeat yourself in the interest of time management, Doctor, in the interest of time management. But this is your board, and is there anything else that you would like to share with the board before we move into our discussion and come to our vote?
If I could, thank you very much. I like to say this. I grew up between Los Angeles, California, where my dad was, and Phoenix, Arizona with my mom. My mom had four kids. Two of those kids are dead now. I got my younger sister and I got myself. When I was growing up, I didn't come up in a house where there was a lot of male traffic or none of that. My mother was a nurse my whole life. She took care of us. My disrespect to her with this crime is so something I'll never be able to look her in the face and say, you know, I did what I had to do, and now I'm home. So I have to live that. You know, you ask my wife, has she seen the change and this and that? And of course she's going to say yes, because love makes you do that. But my change, it happened in my heart. You can lose some things and it changes your whole person. When I lost my mother, I didn't have a reason to try to be the same way or try to think in the same manner or even act in the same manner. I became a man. I didn't have anybody else that I could like depend on or relate to or nothing else closer than my mom. I got my wife. I love my wife. She's an incredible person and an incredible part of my life. My kids, my grandkids are incredible parts of my life. But I wasn't at my mom's funeral. My mom died of cancer. A person that is not changed by something that devastating in their life can't even consider themselves a person, I don't think. So if it's anything that I could actually accredit my maturity to, it's the reality of life and death. So, I mean, I don't really have anything different to say, but I've learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to share what I've learned with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Washington. The board is going into discussion now. It may sound like we're talking to you, especially because you can see us, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes and make a decision whether or not we're going to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. So we just ask you to stay on the phone. If you can remain quiet for a little while. The board is going to deliberate, and we will get back to you in just a few moments. Okay, sir?
Thank you.
Thank you. Fellow board members, as always, we have some tough decisions to make today, like we do every day. But I will say, on some positive notes, regardless of how we vote today, that I'm impressed with Mr. Washington. This is an individual that sounds like he's been on a real journey. I don't think it's an accident that he has the support of a very high character person who's speaking for him today. And there's no denying the incredible amount of programming that Mr. Washington has done since he's been inside DOC. And as I stated earlier, he has a very good release plan, at least in terms of having a plan. You know, how things turn out in reality is one thing, but it is a very good-looking plan. Certainly, he has some discipline issues in the system, which are common. So I'll just go to the portion that he has not had a major in the last 5 years, signifying that there's probably been some ongoing maturity. These are positive comments, but this is balanced with the fact that this is also the first time that he's appeared before this board. He's a new candidate, if you will. And I know that we're cautious about making safe transitions of individuals to the community. So I don't want to quite ride the fence on this as much as I want to say. I recognize that he's a new candidate, that we've got a tough decision to make, but I absolutely want to commend where he's at this point of his development to keep things on the up. But that's where I want to begin. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Cannons, I kind of agree with you. It is, you know, he has done some great things. But I do want to say I'm familiar with Buckeye Road during that era of time, and that was a rough time. If someone walked up to you and said, "Empty your pocket," you probably were really getting ready to get robbed. So I think that taking into consideration that he was on probation at the time that this incident occurred, the fact that he did get a gun and go back out there, I think he's learned his lesson for that. I think he's served his time. You know, I've had the opportunity to work Buckeye Road both as a patrol officer and go back there and work it as a detective to know that there were a lot of things going on during that period of time on Buckeye Road. It probably was one of the roughest areas and probably one of the main areas in the west side of town that was actually known for drugs. So there was a lot of activity and a lot of things going on during that period of time. I've had the opportunity to see many people who have survived those times and turned their lives around and doing some very, very positive things that they are actually doing out there. I think that Mr. Warnston has an opportunity to turn his life around, that with his wife, Ms. Warnston, if she's taking the kids down there, he has an opportunity to be able to show those kids, you know, the difference and how easy it is to make one mistake and how taking that one mistake could cost you a good portion of your life. And in this instance, it's cost him a good portion of his life that he had to serve and he had to miss out, although it involved him taking the life of another person. So although this is his first time up before this board, taking in the information and having some knowledge of the area that this incident actually occurred in, that it was a rough area and a rough period during the time that this incident occurred, I would be supportive of Mr. Washington with the family and community support and the letters that we have in the file for him. I would be supportive of him being released on home arrest.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Quinones, I agree. I think this is one of the best release plans I've seen in my short term on the board thus far, but it's a very good release plan. And I appreciate Mrs. Washington's strength. I can feel it in her and hear it. But the thing that makes a lot of impact on me is a statement. I'll just read you his words out of the letter. This is from Mr. Washington. "I made a vicious, selfish mistake in 1991. I committed a violent thing that will charge me for the remaining stages of my life. Problem is that I can't take it back. So I've chosen to move forward." To me, that's significant.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Again, I want to make a little commentary too here. I know it's amongst the board, and it's certainly not my intention to grandstand, but sometimes you can't help but be inspired in the dialogue. And that is, you know, I've experienced a wide variety of rough neighborhoods, not to mention that I grew up in one myself through my past profession. And I can't help but say to myself sometimes, and this is where I've grown compassion, I ask myself, I look at the surroundings of some areas and I say to myself, what are the odds of getting out of this neighborhood unscathed? It's I know it's social commentary, but my heart has gotten bigger over the years when I look at that situation, and I'm not limiting it to one group in this society. There's just some areas that where the influence is so incredibly negative it's not that you can't get out of there, but it's like the odds are stacked against you in a way that they're almost unfair. So I remember Buckeye Road as well is what I'm getting at too, and I know of what Mr. Johnson speaks. So I just wanted to get that in just for the sake of the record. Any further commentary from my illustrious colleagues, Dr. Wright?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think that one of the things that I'm not going to get into the emotional part of it, as you and Mr. Johnson can do, but I think that one reason that I would at this particular moment support home arrest is the fact that the court system made a decision. The state apparently did not object to it, to charge him with second-degree murder. They could have just as well charged him with first degree. That meant that the state took something under consideration at that time. Therefore, I am in favor of home arrest. Thank you.
And thank you for your detachment, Doctor. Mr. Neal.
I agree.
Thank you. Then I'm going to make a motion, fellow board members. And that is, I'm going to make a motion second. I am going to make a motion to grant home arrest and not regular parole or absolute discharge.
Second.
Agree.
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 I believe that we have to set conditions of release, so I will say them out loud. Follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. A needs assessment referral, that is counseling, vocational, educational. Of course, no alcohol use. I think that goes without saying based on the rules of parole, but I will check it. Random tests for drugs and alcohol. I think Dr. Wright mentioned that it's standard that they may not operate a motor vehicle, but I believe that's at the discretion of parole, so we'll just leave that to parole, but I will check the box. No contact with victim or victim's family, because there was a victim in this case, and I don't want to forget that. Must pay restitution, abide by institutional rules, partake in available programming as directed, once again, at the discretion of parole. Do we recommend a halfway house? For some reason, I always vaporlock there.
We recommend a halfway house. We don't recommend which one.
Okay.
We don't have to recommend. No, we don't have to recommend because he might be with his family. So
I'm going to leave that at the discretion of parole. And then is it $60 or $65? That's the other one I messed up.
$65.
In the next 60 days?
That's what August says, 60 days.
60 days, outstanding.
And I think that, just for the record, sir, somewhere I read in there, and I'm not looking at it at the moment, that he has been saving money as of this time. And the reason I put that in there is because he does need 2 months resources when he gets out. But I read in there that he's been saving some money.
Okay.
One justification.
Okay. Just so that's heard out loud about having enough resources for the next 2 months. Mr. Washington, did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So again, I'm just going to reread this so that it's clear to you that we've granted home arrest, not regular parole, or absolute discharge. The motion was carried. And again, the conditions of release is that you follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. Needs assessment referral, that's counseling, vocational, or educational, no alcohol use, random tests for drugs and alcohol, may not operate a motor vehicle, but I believe that's at the discretion of a parole officer, no contact with victim or victim's family, must pay restitution, abide by institutional rules, and partake in available programming as directed. Does that make sense, and can you live with that, Mr. Washington?
Yes, sir.
Then we wish you the very best. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Can I say something, Mr.?
Yes, sir.
So this board is putting our trust and faith in you that you're going to get out there and do the right thing. This incident that you've stated within your own words has caused some destruction in not only the victim's lives, but the rest of his family's lives. Your decisions and what you're going to do from this point forward is not going to only going to impact you, it's going to impact your wife, your grandkids, all of those people who are trusting and looking forward to you, sir. So I would hope, sir, that you get out and you maintain and you don't let any of us down. And we don't have to see you come back before this board again.
Yes, sir. Hey, Mr. Johnson, may I say something real quick, sir?
If you can keep it brief, sir, because we'd like to bring it to an end. But yes, sir, thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's my wholehearted plan. I want to thank this whole board for seeing me as a human. For a lot of years, I've been seen as nothing more than a number on an inmate. All I'm asking for is an opportunity to live again. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. And one more thing, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Washington, I know you've kind of belabored this, but it's a good warning only because I've been sitting on this board for a while. Please take the alcohol seriously. I think there is a mentality almost that a beer is not going to matter, but if you test negative for alcohol, you can find yourself back here. So please take that seriously, sir.
Yes, sir.
Remember, sir, that alcohol is in a NyQuil. So
yeah, and that it's in NyQuil. Yes.
Alcohol is in NyQuil, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.